Isaiah 5:18. We look at our text verse and Isaiah 5:18 says this: "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." And read that one more time. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with cart rope." Let's pray, and then you may be seated tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless this time, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me, fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit, and I pray, Lord, that you would just bless, Father God, the preaching of your word now, and I pray that you would help these folks to be spirit-filled listeners tonight, Father, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. And in Isaiah 5:18, sin is likened unto a cart or a wagon. Sin is likened unto a cart or a wagon. That which connects us to sin is likened unto a cobweb. And then it says a cart rope, a cart rope. So one day a person dabbles with sin. One day that happens. He intends to break away from it. It's just going to be a little thing, just a little sin, just a little thing, easy to break away. He never intends to live a life in sin. Never intends to. He intends to pass through or sojourn, as the Bible so often uses that word, sojourn in it. Just to pass through or just to pass by. Just to sojourn. He doesn't intend to dwell there. He intends to only take it as a vacation for a season, a short time, a season. So that which holds him to the sin is no stronger than a cobweb at first. Very, very easy to break. He's committed a certain sin only one time. It's easy to break. It's easy to go ahead and break away from that. It's easy to go ahead and break that off. It's easy to break. But here's what happens then. You look at the thing that holds you to that sin and you say, boy, I could clip that very easily. I wouldn't have any trouble breaking away from that. No problem. I can stop that anytime I want to. I can break it just like that. Because it looks so easy, what happens? You don't break it. You don't break away. You don't break away. You say, it's easy. I'll break it when I want to. Then before you know it, it gets a little bigger. And you still don't break it. Finally, the time comes. Finally, the one day comes. You say, I think it's about time I quit doing this. I think it's about time I stop. I'm ready to quit. I'm going to turn my back on this sin. I'm going to break it. Now, where is that cobweb? Where is that cobweb? Where is that cobweb that had been holding me to this sin? It was just such a little cobweb. Oh, what happened? I'm looking at it now after so much time has gone by, and it's no longer a cobweb. All of a sudden, it's not easy to break. All of a sudden, it's difficult to break. It's no longer a cobweb, but rather a rope. I cannot break it because it's a rope. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, the first time you commit a sin ought to be the time you forsake that sin and don't go back to it again. People often say, or sometimes some Pharisee will say, I don't see the need for all these people going down the altar on Sunday nights or Sunday mornings and praying, and I don't see the need for all this altar work Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night going down there and praying. I don't see the need for that. I just don't see a purpose in that. That's what they'll say. Now, when I hear that, I always think that it's obvious about what their attitude is, obviously. But if the preacher preaches on a sin that you've been committing, or if the preacher alerts you to a sin, amen, or something that you need to improve upon, it's always best to break it right away. Amen. While it's a cobweb. While you still can. While it's just a little cobweb, just a little thread. Always best to do that. It's important to break it right away. It's easier not to wait. If you wait too long, here's what happens. It becomes a rope. it becomes a rope. So if you wait too long, if you wait too long, it no longer is a cobweb. It now is a rope. Very, very important for us to remember that. And I want to realize that, I want you to realize tonight that the cobwebs only break easiest at first, not afterwards. That's why Isaiah 5:18 said, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." And don't wait until you can no longer break it. Isaiah says, "Woe to the person who looks and says," guess what? "I've committed a sin. I'm in a certain sin. I can't break it. It's like a cobweb. It's no problem at all." But before you know it, the sin gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And in order to pull that sin, you got to have a bigger rope because you're hauling that thing in a cart. The sin gets bigger and bigger, and the rope has to get bigger and bigger the heavier the cart gets, and the sin gets bigger and the rope gets bigger, and it's a vicious cycle that continues on until that rope gets so big. You get to the place, you finally say, I'm gonna quit smoking. I'm gonna quit smoking now, but you can't. So I'm gonna quit necking and petting now, but you can't because you've been doing it for too long. Amen. You can't. You say, "Well, I'm going to quit my cussing now." But you can't because you've been cussing for too long and too much and too regularly. And all of a sudden now it's not a little cobweb anymore, but it's a great big rope and you just can't break it now. You say, "Boy, preacher, I'm going to quit my gossiping. I'm going to quit gossiping now." But wait a minute, you can't. What happened? You looked one day and you found that that cobweb is no longer a cobweb and it's no longer a couple cobwebs, but all of a sudden it's a cart rope. You can't break it. It's too thick, too heavy. Look tonight at the downtown taverns, the bars. You can see the young girls walking the streets in front of those taverns with their painted up faces, their bodies on display like hogs at the county fair out there. That's what happens. Their hairstyles are wild. They're just advertising. Now, they could be pretty girls, but no decent young man will find a girl like that attractive. No decent young man will think they're pretty. It's a painted-on beauty that appeals to the lustful nature of the wicked mind and sinful mind. There was a day, though, when some mother gave birth to a precious baby girl. Perhaps that mother had dreams. Perhaps that mother had hopes. Perhaps that mother had prayers for that child. There was the feeding and the rocking at night, and there was the tender caressing and the loving. Every one of those call girls and go-go girls and all those types at one time were the object of some mother's love and some father's pride somewhere. However, there came a time in each of their lives when one night the wicked and lustful hands of some boy got a hold of her. There was a time when that happened. There came a night when she yielded to the first time because she wanted to be popular and everybody else was doing it. It's what they always say. It was just a cobweb the first time, not a rope. It was just a cobweb. And they said to themselves as they looked at the cobweb, "I can quit anytime I want." But wait a minute. The second time came. Then there was a third. The second boy came along. The third boy came along. Finally, one day, the once precious girl who had been the object of a mother's love and a mother's care and a mother's affection and concern had sold herself so far into sin that that cobweb that once held her is now a cart rope attached to a wagon. It's a cart rope. "I can quit anytime I want to." Uh-oh. "Now I want to quit and I can't. I can't get away from it. I can't stop now." See, I'm listening. I know what I'm talking about, folks. I've seen it time and time and time again. I've seen it over and over and over again. It's just a little sin. Just a little cobweb that holds us to it. Just a little thing. That little cobweb that she picked up one night on a dark road when some dirty young man said he loved her but he didn't, and he put his wicked hands on her and stole from her that which was holy and virtuous and right. That cobweb that she hooked onto, that cart of sin that night, has now become a cart rope after so many times. She can't get away from it. That young girl who now walks the streets was once a pure, sweet young lady, and now is a fallen woman giving her body to the wicked hands of sinful men. There are those who pay for their services. Wickedness, but they're out there even in our city tonight. They're out there. They're out there just the other night on the corner, just down the street, as we're going soul winning. There they are standing, working the corner. They're attached with a cart rope now. It's not so easy to quit and get away from it. They're addicted now. Can't break it. Look at the addict tonight, stealing to buy more. Look at the fellow who carefully creeps up to the house where someone is not at home, and with a trade he's learned, opens the door and goes into the house and takes a television set or a radio or a computer or some jewelry or something else just so he can buy dope to satisfy his hunger in his body for narcotics. That which can satisfy his hunger and lust is what he's after. He takes that which is not his and goes outside of the house. The policeman comes, takes the fingerprints, and tries to find out who he is. See the covetous hands of that young man. Those hands were once the hands that touched the face of a loving mother somewhere. They once did. They once did. Those were the hands that once held the big hand of a daddy who loved him and cared for him somewhere. What happened? One night, some dirty man out of hell itself tried to sell some high school student a bit of dope. What happened? I'll tell you something. That fellow will try to sell you or give you that which will take away your senses or wreck your mind, and it'll eventually wreck your life if you give in to that person. They're out there all over the place. You go to school with them. You work with them. You're around them, out in public. But don't listen to them. Folks say, well, everybody else is doing it. That doesn't make any difference. If everybody else is doing it, doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't make one bit of difference. Doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. It's still wrong. You're supposed to do that which is right. I don't care if the whole world does it, amen. Now, be decent, be right in God's name. Be what God wants you to be. So you reach out and you took one little puff of that marijuana cigarette one day. What happened? You held on to that cobweb that's holding on to your sin that you've gotten that wagon. Yeah. Get yourself hooked. No problem. I can quit any time I want. It's just a cobweb. I'll go ahead and do it a second time. And then a third. And then a fourth. And so on and so forth. And pretty soon, that cobweb's gotten awful big. That cobweb's gotten awful heavy. All of a sudden, I think I can quit, but wait a minute. I don't have a hold of it anymore. It's got a hold of me. I don't control it anymore. It controls me. I'm hooked with a cart rope now, and I can't break it. That's what happens. That's what happens. You're bound by the sin in that example of narcotics. And now you feel like you have to have it. And you even steal to get it. The young boys who break into houses and steal. They break into businesses and banks and whatnot else. And they rob people for their money. And they just to get more dope. At one time, they weren't bound by sin. They weren't bound to sin by a cart rope, I should say. Just by a cobweb. Just by a cobweb. If they'd come to church like this some Sunday night where the preacher would have preached against sin, amen, maybe, just maybe, their life would have turned out different. If they had a preacher that would have preached, amen, and not be afraid of their faces, amen, and preach the truth from the Word of God about righteousness, amen. What do you think church is about, Doc, amen? It's about living for God. It's about the Word of God. It's about righteousness, amen. So I thought I'd come down here and hear about the love of Jesus. That was this morning. Tonight we're talking about living for God, amen. We're talking about not being bound up by sin. They become slaves to a cart rope. Look at the winos who stumble around our neighborhood. That's sad. They're bound by a cart rope tonight. Look at the men who see two sidewalks instead of one. Look at the men. They see two doorknobs instead of one. They knock on my door and they say, can I have a dollar? I'm hungry. And I said, well, right down the street, I said, they'll feed you at the gathering place. Now I'm hungry. Now you're not hungry, you're thirsty. Amen. And I don't pay for anybody's liquor, amen. I say, I'll give you a box of food. I don't want any of that stuff. Well, that's because you want money. Because food don't buy liquor. Money buys liquor. That's why you want my money, but I won't give you my money. I'll feed you, but I won't give you my money because I ain't going to let you use my money to buy liquor to feed your habit. But the neighborhood's full of them. Full of them. Full of them. What happened? They're hooked. They're just looking to get a little nip. Just looking to satisfy their urge. Just looking to buy a little whiskey or a little wine. These men are bound by cart ropes. They're bound. Has always been that way. There was a time when maybe some wicked school teacher said, hey, come on, take a little drink and be one of the gang with them over there. Somebody like that, hell won't be hot enough for them. Shame on an example like that for a leader. I knew of a few teachers that encouraged people to drink liquor and smoke dope when I was in junior high school. I can remember that. Shame on them. Shame on them. Shame on them. They used to come back on Mondays and talk about their weekend escapades. I remember in art class, and they'd listen to the rock and roll music in art class and talk about their escapades over the weekend involved getting high and getting drunk. What an example that was for a kid. Praise the Lord, I had parents who used to teach me that junk was wrong, and I knew that that wasn't the way to go. But shame on teachers like that, that are examples for the kids that go to our schools. Shame on that. Shame on that. These were men that were bound. They're bound by cart rope now. But they can't get out of it. People, it's hard to figure out why they want to go that route. I think of the fellow just was by here recently, Brother Blaze, and I saw him yesterday. See that guy walking down the street, stumbling over, getting fights with everybody, walking down the street. We was over at a place visiting somebody down over here on 12th and B or 11th and B. Guy stumbling by. We looked out, he's hollering at somebody. I said, oh yeah, that's that guy that come by the church, give Brother Jonathan all that trouble the other day. He said, what? I said, oh yeah, I said, that's that fellow that come by the church and said he wanted to know. He was looking for me and said that he wanted to know what happened back in 2005 when I visited him in jail. He said, I told him I'd look at it, watch his house for him. And I don't know if he just got out or what the problem was, but apparently now he ain't got nothing. He lives at the mission. And I guess he was upset because it's my fault somehow. And I guess I should have been watching his house these last 7 years. I didn't even know where he was at after he left the county jail. But that's him now. And that's how he lives his life every day, getting drunk and stumbling around. And Brother Blaze look at him and say, look at him, he's fighting over there with that old man, that grouchy old guy. They just bickering back and forth, you know, yelling at each other. That's because the guy's drunk. That's because that's how he lives his life every day. But what happened? He wasn't always that way. He got bound. He's bound by a cart rope. That's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. First a cobweb it was, though, before it ever became a cart rope. Tonight I'm trying to help you keep from it becoming a cart rope. Amen. It's a cobweb now. Break it while you can. Don't get in too deep, because what's going to happen is you're going to get bound by a cart rope. They've got them all over the place, folks. We've got a guy lives close to here. He used to be a big star for the University of Nebraska years ago. All he does every day now is look for a bottle. That's all he does. Begging money off of people. That's all he does. Oh, one time he held the world in his hands. At one time he was somebody. What happened? Started as a cobweb, became a cart rope, and now he's bound. And he can't seem to break it. It's hard to break when it's a cart rope. You better break it. Well, it's a cobweb. The cobweb becomes a cart rope always if it hangs on and hangs on. That's why when you see that little first inkling of sin, when you see that first bite of yielding, when you commit it the first time, forsake it, flee it while it's a cobweb. The day will come when you won't be able to get away because you'll be attached by a cart rope and you can't break it anymore. Look at the gossip. Look at the person who sat and talked on the telephone last week and ran people down here at the church. Look at the person who's become a habitual gossip. It hasn't always been that way for them. Oh, no. It wasn't always that way. There are people here who once cooperated in everything that God led us to do in this place. They never criticized anybody. They never sat in judgment at all against anything that was going on for God. They were cooperative. They were loyal. What happened? One night they got in with the wrong crowd. One night they hung out with the wrong person. One night they talked to the wrong person. Oh, they were Christian people, but they were the critical crowd. The kind that nips at this and nips at that and criticizes this person and cuts that person down all the time. Let me tell you something tonight. You're going to answer to God, and so am I, for all the sitting around and criticizing that we do sometimes. Right. We better watch it. Right. It's easy to criticize. Amen. It's easy to cut somebody down all the time. It's easy. We need to ask God to deliver us from that kind of garbage, because it's just as rotten as the liquor, folks. It's just as rotten as the dope. It's straight out of hell. This gossiping and cutting everybody up all the time and cutting everybody down all the time, God's not in favor of that. Amen. The kind of critical nature. They hang around with somebody who's critical. They say, do you know what preacher said? Did you know what preacher did? Can you believe preacher would have the nerve to say? Da-da-da-da-da. Before you know it, you have two critics instead of one. Two instead of one. Now in God's name, break it while it's still a cobweb. You hang around the wrong people constantly, even if they're in our church. And for the ones that are very critical of me, and believe me, I think we got a pretty good church, but there's still some people that criticize the things I do around here. There's still some people that are very critical of the man of God. Still somebody who's wanting to have it their way all the time. You hang around that person, it's going to bite you. You become buddies with that person, and you'll be unspiritual like they are. It'll happen. I promise you that. I remember a few years ago, somebody was at a function that somebody else had, and a bunch of people from our church were there, and this individual who still comes to our church, they're not sitting here tonight, but they were cutting me down at that table, one right after another comment. And I got to be honest with you, I probably said something about it a couple years ago, but to my understanding, the person that informed me about this, I said, well, what'd you say? I didn't say nothing. I said, what'd anybody else at our church say? Well, they didn't say nothing either. I said, so you just let this guy who's been coming to our church for years and even a member and I don't think he's even saved just sit there and roast me over? And I said, nobody said nothing? Oh, no, preacher. Shame on all of you. Shame on them. You got to put him in his place. Tell him if you don't like it, drop dead, go somewhere else, bless God. As far as I know, he don't even give no tithes and offerings here. Where's he got a right running everything down and criticizing everything, bless God? He ought to stink and join up to a church and tithes there before he gets a right to say anything, bless God. Let alone criticize me. And I don't need somebody to go around and fight all my battles for me, anything like that, but shame on people like that. Shame on him. Tell him to shut his mouth. And tell him, hey, say, boy, I'm glad you got all these feelings. Let's go talk over to the preacher about it on Sunday, shall we? Oh, he'll shut up real quick. He don't want to say nothing to me. Well, I feel that strongly about it. Yeah, that's what they'll say quick. Because they don't want to come talk to me about it. And I'll tell you what. I like one time when somebody said that somebody was complaining about me, and I come around the corner, and they said, well, there's the preacher. Let's just ask him. Well, I don't really have nothing to ask. Oh, okay. And I found out later they was cutting everything up I was doing. Well, all of a sudden when I come around the corner, they didn't have anything to say. Hey, it's amazing how they got a quick tongue choke up. Listen, folks, don't be a critic. Critics in the Bible never turned out very good. They never turned out very good. Never turned out very good. Never turned out very good. Listen, look at the extortioner being led away with handcuffs to the prison cell tonight. Look at his eyes. The certain kind of look he has in his eyes. So what is that look, preacher? It's a look of deceit. It's a look of cheat. It's a look that's a extortion look, if you will. Look at him as he follows with his handcuffs on. He goes toward the jailhouse. Look at him. Oh, he hasn't always been held by cart ropes, though. What happened to him? There was a time when he was just cheating on a test at school. There was a time when his dishonesty was a cobweb. There was a time when he just flipped a coin for who paid for the Cokes. His dishonesty was a cobweb. There was a time when he only cheated on his income tax and his dishonesty was just a cobweb. But he wouldn't break it. Because there was a time when that's all he did was rob God. As if that's not bad enough. But wait a minute. It began to escalate. And all of a sudden, his dishonesty of a cobweb began to turn into a cart rope. All of a sudden, it got too thick and he couldn't break it anymore. All of a sudden, that's what happened. All of a sudden. Wow. All of a sudden. What a shame. Listen tonight to the foul-mouthed person who's profaning God's name. Listen to his dirty jokes. What a shame. A few years ago, I remember somebody called me to tell me that so-and-so went to our church, and they worked with him, and they said they was one of the most foul-mouthed people they ever knew of. And they said for a long time, they didn't even know they went to our church. They said then one day, they said they went to our church, and they said, man, you go to that church? They said, well, the way you talk? Hey, shame on them. Shame on them. Shame on them for being such a poor testimony. And shame on them for hiding for years with their co-workers that they even go to church, bless God. What kind of a Christian are you? Don't be ashamed to tell somebody you love Jesus, amen? And don't be afraid of that. And now, if you're going to keep on cussing and telling dirty jokes, just don't even tell them you go to our church, amen? Probably be better off that way, amen? Now, for anybody, it just starts as a cobweb. Just a little cobweb that could be broke easy. Just a cobweb. Just a cobweb. Just a cobweb. Just a little thing. Just a little thing. But you told a dirty joke. You got upset about something and a bad word slipped out. If that happens, break the cobweb right away. The problem is you do it a second time, a third, a fourth, a fifth. And it only becomes easier, and the cobweb becomes thicker. And pretty soon, it's no longer a cobweb, but it turns into a cart rope. And pretty soon, you can't break it. Let me tell you tonight, folks, when that sin first places its ugly fang in on you, and you feel some conviction about it, you need to break it right away. You need to break it right away. The first time, break the cord. The first time, don't let it hang on. Don't wait for it to become a cart rope. You'll be hooked. Look at the backslider tonight. It didn't happen all of a sudden. They missed a Wednesday night. Then they miss another one. Then another one. And pretty soon they're missing every Wednesday night. And then pretty soon a Sunday night. And then pretty soon every other Sunday night. And then pretty soon they just come to church on Sunday mornings only. And after a while, guess what? Because I see it happen to people in our own church right now. After a while, guess what? Well, they miss a Sunday morning. I didn't feel well, preacher. What happened to you this morning? Well, I didn't feel well. Yeah, it's called sleepy-itis. Amen. It's easier to stay in the sack than to get out of bed and go to God's house on the Lord's day, amen. Last time I checked, it's called the Lord's day, amen. It's supposed to be his day, not your day, amen. And you're supposed to go to the house of God on the Lord's day. Well, preacher, stay home on Sunday night. Had a fever. Had 99.5 degrees. It was tough for you, wasn't it? Yeah. I was way under the weather. Better break that cobweb before it becomes a cart rope, amen. Better break it. Better break it. You become a cart rope, a backsliding cart rope, amen. And pretty soon, you'll never be able to make it back. You won't lose your salvation. Praise God for that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But I'll tell you what, you can sure lose living the Christian life pretty easy. Right. And next thing you know, the world sees you and you look just like them. And somebody sees you and then they find out one day you're a Christian. They say, you're a Christian? I never knew you was a Christian. Why? Because you was just like them. Well, I once used to live for God. I once used to go to church. I once used to read my Bible. I once used to pray. Well, what happened? Well, I got away from it. I used to go to church every service. I used to really love the Lord. I used to pray every day, and I used to read my Bible every day. Oh, what happened? Well, I missed one Bible time. I missed a prayer time. I missed it a couple days later. Pretty soon, I just got so busy, I didn't have time to read my Bible anymore. And pretty soon, well, church come around, but I'm busy. I'm a busy person. After all, I work. I work a job. And of course, you're the first person that's ever worked a full-time job and have to be expected to come to church 3 times a week, bless God. And so we know it must be tough. It's got to be tough, right? I mean, after all, nobody else works. Everybody else comes here is unemployed. And nobody else works, right? Yeah, I got a job, preacher. Yeah, you're right. We're all just retired people here. And nobody else works a job. And hey, we got retired folks here, but guess what? When they worked jobs, they still came to church, amen? And they should have, amen, and they should have. And they did. And it's a cobweb. And that cobweb becomes a cart rope. And very, very important. And that's why I try to stay behind this pulpit. For 10 years, I've stayed faithfully behind this pulpit. Over 10 years now, amen. I've preached the word of God straight, amen. Every time we meet for 10 years, amen. Because I'm trying to help you be the best Christians you can be for God. It's not for me. It's not for anything for me. But rather, what it is about me trying to be like the diagnostician, amen, for the church. Kind of like at the hospital, amen. Trying to get out my spiritual stethoscope and look you over, amen. Examine the heart. See how your spiritual temperature is, amen. And how your pulse is and so forth of the church, amen. Because we want to reach this city for Christ, amen. But how is it going to happen with dedicated Christians? It's not going to happen with Christians that miss Sunday night church every other week. They can't make it to Wednesdays ever. They can't give anything to God. You're not going to reach it with people like that. No, it's going to take dedicated, committed people that want to live for God and want to do something for God. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, what you've done is wrong, break it while it's a cobweb, amen. One cobweb of criticism, break it right away, amen. One cobweb of a drink of alcohol, break it right away, amen. One cobweb of one parked car on a dark road some night with somebody not even married to, break it right away, amen. Don't do it again. Break the cobweb. Get away from it. Stop it. Stop it before you have the first cigarette. Stop it before you take the first drink. Stop it, amen. If you've taken that first one, then break it right away. If you had that first cigarette, then break it right away, amen. You don't do that and you get yourself in trouble. It'll become a cart rope quick. And then you won't be able to break it. Quit the gossip before it becomes a cart rope and you become a habitual gossiper. 'Tis the cobweb of one little sin that wiggles its way like a worm inside of your heart until one day you're so bound by that sin that God himself and the power of the Holy Spirit of God cannot break that because you're so bound up. And by the way, only through the complete fullness of the power will be the only way you ever break away when it gets that thick. You certainly won't be able to do it on your own. Don't play with a cobra. Amen. Even if it's only half a foot long. Don't play with it. It gets big one day. It will only become a cobweb now, but bound by a cart rope later. Let me give you a few steps tonight. A few things. Because if you're bound by a cart rope, amen, you have a life of sin and unhappiness and misery and sorrow if you get that way. It looks bright now because it's only a cobweb, but it becomes a cart rope. Now, how does this happen? I want to give you a few steps. Number one, the load of sin is light at first. The load of sin is light at first. Amen. It's so light that all you need is a cobweb to pull the cart. That's all you need. It's no real burden at first. Yet it's still a sin. You latch yourself onto some sin. It's fun to pull. A cobweb can pull it. It's not a heavy burden at first. And sin, folks, is always that way. I've said this time and time again, folks. The best day you ever spend in the world is the first day, amen. It gets worse every day after that. The worst day that you ever spend with Jesus is the first day, amen. It gets better and better every day when you live for him. Every day it gets better. The more you live for Jesus, the better it gets. That's why I say you ought to walk the aisle after the first time you commit that sin and repent of it, amen. That's why when the Holy Spirit of God says this is wrong, you should get on your knees at the altar and ask God to forgive you. While it's still attached by only a cobweb. By only a cobweb. Number two tonight. Number two, we've got to hurry because Brother Yeager's hungry. Amen. And if he gets any thinner, he's not going to be turned sideways. You won't be able to see him, so we better get him down there to eat quick. Number two, the rate of sin increases. The rate of sin increases. As the weight of the load of sin increases, so does the necessity of increasing the size of the rope. It won't pull it with just a cobweb when it starts getting too heavy. So it increases, and so does the size of the rope. Suddenly that sin that pulled so lightly and so much fun, amen, it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. In order to stay tied to that sin, you've got to get a cart rope. That's how sin is. Amen. It gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Not only is it true that when the weight increases, but the road gets worse and the ruts get deeper and the hills get steeper, and the longer you pull that cart of sin, that's the way it'll be. I can remember when I was a kid. I remember my mom had a Datsun Honeybee, and I was playing in the garage one day, and I can remember, I used to notice how small that car was and how light it was. And I decided one day that it'd be fun to push back and forth inside the garage like that. And so I put the vehicle in neutral and I'd rock it back and forth some while I was sitting in it. I mean, it was fun, you know. And I was a big kid for my age, imagine that. And I thought the car was pretty light and easy to push back and forth. That's what I thought. And so because of that, I was kind of rocking that car back and forth, and next thing you know, I wasn't very old, maybe 7 or 8 years old at the time, and I decided it would be fun to push it far enough to go to the driveway and then ride it down. And I figured that car was so light that when I got down to the end of the driveway, I would just push it back up into the garage. That's what I thought. And so when I got started pushing it, I tried to change my mind, but it was too late. It had started toward the end of the driveway, or toward the top of the driveway, I'm sorry. And the back end had already hit the slope part, and I found that I couldn't stop it from rolling. I was trying to. So I decided I'd better just jump in, and I did. And so I jumped in, and it went much faster down that driveway than I had anticipated that it would. And it went into the street and into the neighbor's driveway and swerved over into their yard by their pine tree over there, a fir tree, and stopped right before 56th Street over there, 56th and Bancroft, where my parents lived. And so, fortunately, there was just enough of a hill in the neighbor's yard to stop it from going all the way into 56th Street, where it could have got hit and seriously injured, and the car could have gotten seriously injured, and if I wasn't injured, I would have been seriously injured. But so, it finally stopped, of course, with the momentum. Needless to say, after it stopped over there, I thought I could push it back over. It was too heavy to push back over. And so finally I had to go get my mom. But that's what sin does. Sin's like that. You put and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And pretty soon it seemed like it was light, but it ends up being heavier than you thought it would be. I mean, I thought that car, man, that thing's like a Hot Wheels, you know. I mean, you got to remember, at eight years old, man, I weighed well over 100 pounds, you know. And so for me, I mean, man, just push this thing around the garage, it's nothing. That was great. I mean, I used to play in there when the garage door was shut, you know. I'd push that car back and forth. I'd pretend like I'm driving it, you know, and so forth. It was easy then. But then that day when the garage was open, I just thought, man, I'd like to just ride this thing all the way down the bottom of the driveway. I thought I'd just push it back up there. But it's too heavy. Sin will get you that way. It's too heavy. It becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. That car wasn't as light as I thought it was. Only on the level garage floor was it that light. But as you pull up that load up a hill, it was so heavy. And now you go down the hill and it goes a lot faster than what you ever planned on it doing. And all of a sudden you're in danger of being crushed by the load because of it. And if you don't break some sinful habit tonight, that might just be what happens to you. Yeah. You and might be crushed by the load of sin because of that heavy cart that you've been hauling around. Amen. Hey, what's your sin tonight? Amen. What's your sin tonight? I'm talking to somebody that's been peeking at dirty magazines. Or anymore, it's the internet than the magazines. I'm talking to someone who's been criticizing the preacher or criticizing some authority somewhere. I'm talking to someone who's been hiding something from their parents, who's been disguising it, keeping it a secret, quote unquote. I'm talking to the young person who's been secretly rebelling against the authorities God has placed over you in your life. You've been rebelling against your parents. You've been rebelling against your teachers. You've been rebelling against everyone. Maybe you don't openly rebel to their face, but you secretly rebel behind their backs. I'm talking to you tonight. Or your body language tells off a lot more than you realize sometimes. Body language can be read well. Read well. Maybe your kids are secretly rebelling by refusing to stand when an adult enters a room. Maybe you're refusing to be polite and courteous to others. Maybe you're rebelling in that way. Maybe you put a smart-aleck tone on your answers that you give to an adult somewhere. Maybe that's you tonight. When I was a kid, we didn't talk to adults that way. Otherwise, I got home and it wasn't pleasant with Dad. We weren't allowed to talk to adults that way. It's a shame how far we've stumbled in our society today on how children should act towards adults the right way. What's your sin tonight? You do that, and it could be just a little seed of rebellion. And it's a little cobweb, but one day it will become a cart rope. Any parent who refuses to see it for what it is, shame on you. You're not doing your kid any favors. You're not doing them any favors. If you see them acting that way, you better correct them. It's the best thing to do it while they're young, and it's the best thing to do it while it's just a cobweb. Just the best way to do it. Better be careful. Number three, let me give you the third one. Whether you're still hungry. It's getting hungrier. Number three, there is a way you can break it. There is a way you can break it. It matters not if you're already to the place where your cobweb is a cart rope, because you still can break it. The way you can break it, the Bible says, forsaking your sins. If it's a cobweb, I know you can break it yourself without God's help. And I was misspeaking a little bit earlier, and then I corrected myself on it, but let me give you how you can break it, because there is a way. If it's something just recently, it's become a cart rope, you may still be able to break it yourself. If it's just getting to that point. But ultimately, you just quit the activity. Say, okay, preacher, give me an example. You just started peeking at dirty pictures. Okay? Quit it now. Forsaking your sins, as the Bible says. You just started drinking liquor. Quit it now. Forsaking your sins, as the Bible says, Christian.
Right.
Go to your fridge, get that stinking beer out of there, and dump it down the stinking drain, and quit bringing it in. You quit it. You just started smoking. Quit it now. Throw those cigarettes away before you develop into a bad habit. It'll cost you a lot of money down the road. And they're going to just keep taxing them higher and higher, by the way. So it's going to cost you a lot of money. Whatever it is, just stop it now. Forsake your sins. But now, wait a minute. There are some, even our own church, who may feel like it's too late for me. It may seem like it's too late. It may seem like I just don't have a chance. You don't throw in the towel. Don't think that you're just bound by that for the rest of your life, because that's not true. Now, I've spent most of my time talking to those who may be bound by a little cobweb tonight. But now let me speak to those of you who are bound by a big cart rope to this sin you may have. Though you yourself cannot break that cart rope, there is a way it can be broken, thank God. That way is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit, amen, gives you the victory in your life. It can be broken. It can be. Amen. Years ago, horses pulled most of the load. Probably a few of you are old enough to remember when the ice cream man came in a cart pulled by a horse. Amen. Any of you ever remember that? Miss Linda, all right. And Miss Peggy Wilson. And Tom, brother. Brother Foff? Yeah, okay. Want to make sure you're still with us. And the ice cream man came by that way. Amen. And Brother Foff can even remember it. Amen. Now, there was an old horse back in those days. They never took out of his harness. And he stayed in his harness all of the time. He got older and older, and they never took him out of his harness because they were afraid he would, guess what, fall to pieces, so to speak. They were afraid he wouldn't be able to take it. Since that way, if I don't go down to the red light district once in a while, says one, I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my liquor every day, I'd fall apart. If I didn't have my dope, I'd fall apart. You would find a new freedom you've never known in your life if you would come to him who is the only power in this world that can deliver you when the cobweb has just become a cart rope, or it is a cart rope. Only Jesus and the power of the gospel of the Holy Spirit can break it. Number one, if a person's lost, they get saved. But now we're figuring tonight that pretty much everybody here is a saved person. Probably everybody is. So if you're a saved person, you've already asked Christ to be your personal Savior. You've already been born again and washed in the blood. Amen. But now you've still got yourself to a place where you've gotten into sin. You've still got yourself to a place where that cobweb went on and became bigger and bigger, and that cart you pulled became heavier and heavier. And now you got that cart rope to you, and maybe you've had it for a while. Maybe that's you tonight. And if that's you tonight, there's still hope. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. Thank God he can and will, and he does free people from that. There are many in our church who were once bound by a deep, dark cart of sin. By a cart rope, if you will. They came to Christ, they were delivered from the bondage of sin. There are people that come to our church who used to be drunkards and aren't anymore, praise the Lord. How did it happen? They came in contact with the only power in this world that can break the cart rope, amen, between an individual and his sin. There are people in our church who used to be involved in horrible sexual sins, perhaps. But tonight, they are free from this. I'm talking about gross sins. And I know I've counseled with some of them. I've talked with some of them. And guess what? They got freed from it. How'd they get freed from it? The only way they could, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the only way. By claiming the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way they could get freed from it. And how did it happen? They couldn't break the cart rope themselves, but they came to him who alone could break the cart rope that binds a sinner to his sin. And so what happened? Jesus delivered them from it. Jesus delivered them from it. Amen? He delivered them. He delivered them. He can do that for you. Folks, that's offered to every person who is bound by sin. If you're lost tonight, get saved. That's the first step. If you're saved tonight, get right with God. Claim the power of the Holy Spirit of God, asking and begging him to help you break that bond of a cart rope that's got you bound up to that cart. God offers that to anybody who'd come to him. He offers that deliverance by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's exactly the invitation tonight that I throw out to you, and that's exactly the invitation I've been throwing out for over 10 years in this church, especially on Sunday nights. Is you can overcome that. You can overcome that. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Making cart ropes out of cobwebs isn't good for anybody.